From KCBW News in Salt Lake City, I'm Jeff Robinson. While Brigham Young University earned praise from some sports commentators for sticking to its values after dismissing Brandon Davies from the basketball team for an honor code violation, a new article on the sports website Deadspin examines what it calls, quote, the truth about race, religion, and the honor code at BYU. It's co-authored by Darren Smith, a former BYU instructor who has often examined the relationship between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and African Americans. I asked Smith what the black athletes who shared their opinions in the article had to say.
A lot of the criticisms that are being sort of leveled at, you know, at me and at Luke about this article, they highlight the three athletes in particular. If you read the story, it's actually more than that. There's actually like nine total. But those three particular athletes are the ones that we highlighted because their stories were so incredibly impressive in terms of what they experienced. But the fact of the matter is, I think some of the athletes were deeply concerned by what they felt were misleading statements regarding the honor code, and that the honor code was not fully disclosed to them. Now, they may have had or heard about the honor code. They certainly would have had to actually agree to go to BYU first. But it was kind of like a soft sell, if you will, and it wasn't certainly the honor code for African-American non-Mormons means something very different to African-Americans or white Mormons, for instance, who grow up basically within an honor code system vis-a-vis the LDS Church and their practices and so on. But these particular young men did not have the same socialization within that system as the white athletes did.
And one of the responses I've noticed to your article, Darren, is that the players who were interviewed were under a different coach at the time. There's a different coach now, and
right.
That has been given more credit for emphasizing the honor code. Do you think things have changed in the meantime?
Well, I think to Bronco Mendenhall's credit, I think he has certainly tried to make inroads to improving the communication process between recruits and the university and the athletic department, certainly. One way that I found in the story that BYU chose to deal with the recruiting issue is simply not recruit African Americans. I mean, so if you look at the number of African American athletes that were recruited during the Croton years, and you compare those numbers to the athletes that are recruited now, there's a decline. There's been certainly a decline in the actual numbers. And I think the reason being is because it's very difficult for African-American non-Mormons to attend BYU. I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, it's a religious institution. They have particular rules, codes, mores, and a very particular conduct that may be out of step and out of sync with the way in which these African-American men grew up and lived their lives. That's not to say there's good and bad. It's just different. And so as long as BYU is actively recruiting African-American athletes who are non-Mormons, they have to be cognizant of and aware of and have systems in place to help these young men to succeed. And that's my biggest criticism, is that there's been no mechanisms in place despite what the institution has said. I know Kerry Jenkins was interviewed. Luke was able to interview Kerry, and she, she made the claim that BYU has tried to help, you know, and help these young men to be successful. But that's not the case when you talk to J.D. Allen, for instance, James Allen. James Allen's experience is quite different. He has tried repeatedly to get BYU to allow him to finish his degree. So why is it okay for him to be denied, yet Jimmer, who is actually about to enter the NBA and is so popular that, you know, he's able to take his courses online? Why can't James Allen? Why can't Ray Hudson and others who were not given that opportunity be extended the same courtesy to finish their credential? I mean, we bring these young men in, we use them up, we use their brawn, and then we send them down the road. If there's some sort of an honor code violation, I don't dispute the fact that there was a quote unquote violation.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is that these young men were not fully told, or the disclosure was weak in terms of what they got themselves into, notwithstanding some of the other issues. And also it really portrays a very dastardly image about African American men in terms of their sexual prowessness, if you will, their a high level of shenaniganness, and it actually exonerates and excuses white athletes. It presents the image that white athletes don't do these things, and they certainly do. It's just they have greater mechanisms of protection than African-American athletes do, and also Polynesian athletes. I would also add that Polynesian athletes, for the most part, can still rely on those who are LDS, can still rely on the church or the BYU system, because they have a system of redress in place, whereas these young men don't. I think it was very telling what Ray Hudson had to say, and his admonishment to extend essentially a warning to African American men who are considering BYU as an option: don't go to BYU. That's pretty revealing, and it's a sad commentary to the state of affairs at the institution. Now, I want to add real quickly that I am a big supporter of BYU. I went to BYU. I attended BYU. I graduated from BYU. I have no animus toward BYU. My concern is the disproportionate treatment of African-American athletes versus other athletes of color. And when you look at the data, it's compelling. You cannot dispute the data.
And finally, Darren, can I ask you to remind our listeners about your history as a professor at BYU and what led to your departure from the institution?
I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, I was not a professor in the sense I have a PhD. Since then, I do have a PhD now, but I didn't have one then. So I was hired as adjunct faculty, and so my role was to teach there at the institution, which I thoroughly enjoyed. The students were wonderful. The administration that I worked for was incredible. Mm-hmm. The aesthetics was beautiful. It was a wonderful facility to work at. That's the first thing. I think it went awry when the administration got wind of Black and Mormon, the book that came out in 2004, that essentially it talks about the history of the LDS Church since 1978. So there was a couple of historical pieces in there that looked at that. The book was an edited volume, so it had several different authors who contributed to it. But I was sort of the mouthpiece for that, and I think the institution got fed up with seeing me on the radio and hearing me on TV, putting the story out, and basically did not renew my contract. So you can say I was fired or my contract wasn't renewed, but at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. I wasn't allowed to come back and teach there. It's unfortunate because BYU, they need people of color on that campus. They need to have more people of color on that campus. There are a plethora of African Americans, both men and women, Latinos, who are tremendous folks who could make a significant contribution to the church and the school, but nobody goes after them. Nobody recruits them. The church assumes that we're all colorblind. It doesn't matter. And this is partly why this media storm has blown up around them.
And Darren, if I could also ask you, what's the one thing that you would say to diehard Cougar fans who see the article and simply do not want to believe what's in it?
Well, I would say that those individuals need to read their history. I think those individuals are in denial that the church is perfect. The church is perfect. BYU is perfect. It has no flaws, and therefore, how dare I critique the church? I want to remind your listeners that I am LDS first and foremost, and so and I'm not in bad standing. I mean, so I'm in good standing. I attend church, but I do have concern yet again over how race continually rears its ugly head within the institution, with BYU in particular. We must do a better job. We must learn and understand our history. We must learn to forgive. But the church must make the church, BYU, and other components of this must make the first move. They have to acknowledge that there's been problems. Now, put me to a test. Set up a commission, BYU, set up a commission. Have athletes and former athletes, Mormons and non-Mormons, sit on a committee and evaluate whether or not the honor code process is biased. Mm-hmm. Evaluate that. I mean, don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, do your own internal investigation as an institution, but don't do it with just BYU folk. Bring folk from outside to evaluate the process and see if it's fair. Because I'll be the first one to say I was wrong, but the numbers that I have are compelling.
Darren Smith, we appreciate your time very much. Thank you for speaking with us.
You're so welcome.
Dr. Darren Smith is a professor at Wichita State University and co-author of The Truth About Race, Religion, and the Honor Code at BYU, an article published this week on the sports website Deadspin. I'm Jeff Robinson, KCBW News.